The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Cruelly labeled the world's ugliest woman, Lizzie Velasquez suffers from a rare syndrome, but uses her life experiences to encourage others to choose happiness.
I realized that I had two choices. I could either choose to be happy, or I can choose to go down a really bad path. And that's where I used to see my syndrome and my purpose as a curse. And once I decided to choose happiness, I realized that it's, when I wake up in the morning, it's a gift from God. The syndrome is a gift from God.
I'm Betty, and this is James.
Well, we are thrilled to have, I think, one of the most special girls, women on the planet. Her name is Lizzie Velasquez, and she has written a book titled Choosing Happiness. And Lizzie knows what it is to be made fun of, bullied, picked on. She has a condition, a syndrome that is unique to only three people in the whole world. And she's kind of a living miracle, and she has chosen happiness. And I want you to hear her heart and her story. Would you welcome to life today, Lizzie Velasquez. Hi, Lizzie. I find you refreshing because from the moment I met you, there was joy. And it's apparent that you have an unusual journey and battle. Mm-hmm. Tell us when the battle became, let's say, obvious to you, and when you really began to feel, let's say, some of the pressure or stress or the unkind things that people would throw your way.
Well, I would say battle for the beginning of my life, but now I kind of will look at this whole syndrome as a blessing instead of a battle because it's gotten me to where I am today. But I was born with a very rare syndrome that only two other people in the entire world, including myself, I make three, that we know of, have. It's undiagnosed, it doesn't have a name, and I can pretty much eat whatever I want, whenever I want, and not gain weight. So on one hand, it's the best non-diet.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but on the other hand is where the hard part comes in, to where I do look different. I am smaller than a lot of other people. And that was hard when I started kindergarten because my parents raised me 150% normally, so much to the point where I had no clue that I was different from any other kids until I started elementary school. And that's when I was really opened up to the world of bullying. And it was never any physical bullying. It was mostly name calling and people staring at me and being afraid of me. And I could not understand why, because I thought I was a really awesome kid and they were just missing out on me. And I had to go home and ask my parents why, what's wrong with me. And they sat me down, and I credit their answer to absolutely everything I've done in my life, because when I asked them what's wrong with me, their answer was nothing. You have this syndrome. It makes you a little bit smaller than the other people, but you're beautiful, you're smart, you can do anything you put your mind to. So that's the attitude I've always been raised with.
That's some great parents, don't you think? And that's the way parents should be. Do you have other siblings, brothers or sisters?
I do. I'm the oldest. My sister just finished her first year of college. She's 19 years old. And my brother is a sophomore in high school, and he's 16 years old.
And they don't have any of the syndrome symptoms?
They don't.
Do they know what caused that? Is there any explanation for it?
Nope. We really have no clue why, how I got it. I'm kind of writing my own medical book because we don't have anything to look back and say, this happened to someone else, so you can expect this in the future. So it's just a day-by-day thing.
Well, I think that you are writing it to the glory of God when you say, or you quote the scripture, all things work together for good, mm-hmm. to those who love God, who know they're called according to His purpose, which is to reveal himself right here on this planet as he really is, it seems to me that you realize you have that opportunity. Am I right in that?
Oh, without a doubt.
And so how long have you been sharing, let's say, the fact that God has made a difference in your family and in your life? Did you start when you were pretty young, when kids were mistreating you, that you started trying to share, or has this come a little bit later in life?
It started probably around high school, because I had to learn to accept who I was first before I can go out and share a message or share anything, because I was at a point, I was a preteen who was figuring out who I was, wanting to be like the quote popular kids, wanting to be able to fit into the really cool clothes instead of the tiny clothes that I had to wear. And there was a point where I would pray at night and I would say, God, thought of him as a magician. And I would say, God, please, when I wake up in the morning, make me look like everybody else. Then I wouldn't have to look in the mirror and not like what I see. Then I'd be able to go to school and have friends with the whole school. And there were times where I didn't know who to blame. I didn't want to blame my parents because they didn't decide to have a daughter with an unknown syndrome. I couldn't blame my teachers. I couldn't blame my friends. So I was upset with God. And I was at a point to where I couldn't go out and share his message when I was still figuring it out myself. So when I was in high school, I realized that I had two choices. I could either choose to be happy, or I can choose to go down a really bad path. And that's where I used to see my syndrome and my purpose as a curse. And once I decided to choose happiness, I realized that it's, when I wake up in the morning, it's a gift from God. The syndrome is a gift from God. My purpose is a gift from God. And it's something that I absolutely cherish. It's something that I do not take lightly. And it's something that I think is the reason why I feel like you could tell that I'm a happy person. Yes, because God is good, and I'm here, and things are really, really good.
So you've actually made the choice to be happy. I was wondering, as you were talking about kids making fun of you, I never have understood that. Now, you and I both are Austin folks. I lived in Austin. I've talked about some of my childhood there. And then when I lived in Austin, I didn't have a home. I lived on back alleys. In what we would call a little shack. I lived on a dump. It was like a salvage dump. And we got our mail at someone else's house. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't the kid that, you know, everybody's inviting to come over to their house. No church bus ever even came by and invited me on it. I was the kid that when they picked teams, because nobody knew me, I moved like 17 times in 10 years. And they didn't know me, so I'd still be standing there when they went off to play. And I always watched kids make fun of other people. Mm-hmm. And I never did understand that. It's really amazing that here I am, a kid without a dad, not getting picked, and yet I had a soft spot in my heart for others. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, for anybody to make fun of anybody for any reason, it's fine to have fun with people. We kind of laugh together and laugh at ourselves and so forth. But to put somebody down, I never understood that. And it's amazing that it's as though God planted something inside me to want to pick people up, to want to lift people up. And I found the best way to do that is lift the Lord Jesus up. Mm-hmm. And I sense that's what you feel. So when you made a choice to be happy, you made a choice to exalt him. You just put your hands up a while ago and said, God is good. And you really do believe that.
Oh,
And so when people are unkind, we don't understand it. But the best way to overcome it is to answer them with love and forgiveness and try to be understanding toward them, correct?
Oh, without a doubt. One of my biggest things is don't bully the bully. You get nowhere when you bully the bully. If someone tells you something mean, if I go back and I say, well, you're this or you're that, what am I doing? Sinking down to their level. What is that accomplishing? Nothing. It's just continuing to spread negativity. Mm-hmm. I made a choice that if someone was hurting me or upsetting me, I would acknowledge it and say, I'm sorry you feel that way, but I'm going to go over here and I'm going to continue to make myself better. And so I set goals for myself. I wanted to be a motivational speaker. I wanted to write a book, graduate college, and have a really awesome career. And I worked really, really hard. And it took a lot of people. It took a lot of prayer. The three things that have gotten me where I am today are my faith, my family, and my friends. And with those three things, I've been a motivational speaker for 8 years. That's Choosing Happiness is my third
book. You've been on Barbara Walters. I've never even been on Barbara Walters. And I have a whole television program all over the world.
Hi,
Barbara. How you doing? And by the way, she was really sweet to you, wasn't she?
Yes. She's so sweet. She hugged me during my interview. She was just, her compassion for me was amazing. She was just the nicest lady.
Well, you know, you're talking about choices that we make, and we all have to come to that point in mm-hmm. our lives. We make choices whether we're going to love God, put God first, whether we're going to be happy. There's a lot of people that, on the outside, they look like they have everything. They look beautiful, all this, everything, but they're right. not happy.
Yeah.
So it's a choice
inside.
That we all have to come to.
Yeah, without a doubt. I always tell people, you have to love yourself on the inside to be able to love yourself on the
That's
outside
right.
to then be able to love other people. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like a puzzle piece for me to just say, you know what, I'm surrendering it all to the Lord, and I'm just going to do your will, and I'm going to do it with a smile no matter what it is, and I will find out what it is, and it will come to me. And motivational speaking was something that came to me on accident when I was in high school. And the feeling that I felt right after I finished speaking, I had never felt more comfortable in my own skin. I had never felt more confident in the things that I've gone through. And in that moment, I said, whatever I have to do to make that feeling happen again, to be able to help other people, I will do it. And I did it.
Well, you are doing it. Now tell me, are there some of the points that you make? And by the way, you have a website.
If
people want to know where you're speaking, or if they would like for you to come and speak to their group,
yes.
they could go to your website.
Yes.
They could get the book there on the website.
Right.
And we'd be more than happy to send it to you today, too, if you'd help us, put some shoes on some little children's feet. Because we ask you to give and share love and life, and we love to give and share life and love with you. And if you'd like to have the book, we'll send it to you. But what's the website?
The website is thelizzieproject.com, and it's actually a website that also has information about my first documentary that we will be filming this summer. And I'm very, very excited about it because it was another God thing, because I have been approached many times to share my story in a movie form, and I just never felt like it was right. And when I got the offer to do it right away, I said, this is it. This is it. And I have had the most amazing, I call them my dream team, who rallied around me, really just helped me not only be excited to share my story, but to be excited to show other people that there is life after bullying.
Wow.
There is a light at the end of the tunnel. And I have been asked many times if I could go back in time, not have my syndrome, if I could have a cure, if I could take back all the bullying, would I do it? And without a doubt, I would never do it, because I look at all the struggles, I look at the negativity as steps to a ladder to get to where I am and to get to my purpose. And I wouldn't take that back for anything, because it's made me who I am, it's made me help other people, and I am so thankful for all of it.
You know, I wish everyone listening at home and those of you here would understand that oftentimes out of our pain and our challenges and even our failures, that it's out of that we find the greatest ability to help and assist others. For instance, in my own life, not having a father caused me to have seemingly an even greater appreciation for knowing God the Father as the ultimate and perfect Father, but also gave me a desire to help others know the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they had a father that was in place or out of place, they could know the ultimate Father. It also gave me a compassion for people that had a greater challenge than others, and a desire to show them that there wasn't any ditch that God couldn't lift you out of.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't any difficulty that He can't enable you to overcome. No mountain you can't climb.
Right.
And so we both had challenges, and yet we're excited about what we're doing. And is this documentary going to be something that's shown like on some of the major networks, or is it going to be something that's available for people to get on DVD, or will it go in theaters? Do you know yet?
Not yet. It's something, it's all a work in progress right now. So if you keep an eye out on thelizzieproject.com, you'll have all your information there.
Yeah, and I hope you'll go there. And there may be some of you who not only want to assist, but also encourage people to get it out. However they decide to release it, It would be wonderful for people to hear her story because she had horrendous things said about her. One of the most watched YouTube events was very unkind to her and really and truly put a label on her that would devastate most people to the point that they would never hold their head up. But God has lifted your head. It really is God that's lifted your countenance, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's a supernatural thing, and that joy is real.
It's a great thing.
Yeah, it is very, very real. So if you get people to get to not only the documentary, but get in the book, and they read the book, what is your prayer and your hope that will happen as they read your story? What do you want to see happen in people's lives?
My hope is that people see that no matter where you come from, no matter what your background is, you have a choice. You have a choice to choose the road of happiness and gratefulness, or you have a choice to pity yourself and go down a bad, bad path. But if you choose, all you gotta do is make the choice. If you make the choice to choose happiness, everything else will fall into place. As long as you have your prayer and your faith and your willingness to keep going, I guarantee you, everything will fall into place.
You know, you sound a little bit like Nick Vujicic, who's been here many times.
He
has no arms and legs, and he says, no limbs, no limits. And I mean, he is just absolutely amazing. He's the guy that can't get up, and he gets up. And all the students just, I'm telling you, even Oprah, she just came unglued to see the power in this kid's believing in what God can do. And that's what we see. Don't you see the joy of the Lord in Lizzie? Can you see it in her countenance? Betty, what do you think when you realize, because I know how much you love children. Betty used to sing on the mission field as we were little children, Jesus loves the little children of the world. And she just would sing that because she loves them. When you see someone that's had a challenge like Lizzie has faced and now you hear her, what goes on inside of your heart?
Well, I'm just so excited to see her and your beautiful testimony, your inner beauty, just your countenance is just the glory of God. And I think that is so refreshing. And so many people, like I said earlier, they have it all on the outside appearance, mm-hmm. but they're empty on the inside. You've got it on the inside and
Thank
it flows
you.
Out to the
Thank
outside.
You.
And you are radiantly
Thank
beautiful
you.
In the Lord.
Thank
do you.
You
think she's pretty, Lizzie?
I think. I was backstage watching, and I'm like, you are gorgeous. You have, like, perfect skin.
Oh.
So great. Yeah. You radiate, too, not Thanks. Just me.
Well, you know what? The reason I ask you that is because so many people, it's just like Joseph Prince called me from Singapore, and we were talking, and he said, James, he said, I think Betty, I see Jesus in Betty more than anybody I've ever seen on television. And I said, well, that's nice for you to say that. I agree. I just love her. But the reason I'm pointing to her is that what you see in Betty, and you just talked about it, mm-hmm. We see that in you. Mm-hmm. And there is a glory. And I've had so many guests here that I will often say the glory of God is resting on you.
Mm-hmm.
We have a guest this week, Ben Carson. The glory of God's all over Ben.
Mm-hmm.
It's a radiance of the Lord. I hope that's on me some. I want it to get on me off of Betty, you know. But it's just, oh, come on, please help me. The thing is, it really is there. And don't ever doubt it, and don't ever wonder. And just continue to not only choose to be happy, but inspire other people to be happy. It is Jesus. Not a story about a man who lived, but a story about a man who lived and died for us and now lives to live in us. It's that person that's living in you. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
And that's the one that gives you the smile and the joy no
yeah.
matter what we face on this earth.
Yeah.
And He is the one, the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus we all bow and we all praise Him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Would you say thanks to Lizzie and thanks to God? Wow, what a beautiful story. And here is the book, and there is the website. So you go there, and you perhaps get her to come and share with you, find out how you can help get the story out on the documentary. Now, let me show you something that I promise you will move you. You're going to see Betty and me really looking in through the eyes, I believe, of Jesus. And I really believe we'll be looking the way you would look if you were looking on the scenes that we see. See if you don't agree, and see if you don't find an excitement about recognizing, realizing what you can do to make all the difference in someone's world. Watch closely. Well, you know, it's hard to believe, but this is a, it's a mini subdivision is what it is. It's this kind of area where children need shoes. They're subject to diseases. We've found that hookworms are major destroyers of children because they get into their skin and then ultimately into their intestines and destroy their life horribly. Slow, painful death. And love makes the difference, but it's not love discussed or love even declared. It's love demonstrated. It's somebody who says, I won't just talk about love, even God's love, I'm going to demonstrate it.
We're busy handing out shoes here. These are life shoes that we're putting on precious little lives. It's an exciting day. You can hear the noise in the background. The kids just getting their shoes at the different points here. And you don't understand what these children go through, how bashed up their little feet get. There's kids just cutting their feet open, getting infection in them. There's no clinic here where they can go and get some sutures put in to cut on their feet. But this little girl doesn't have to worry about it anymore because she's got a pair of life shoes. Thank you for making that possible. Thank you for giving her these precious little shoes that are going to protect her feet and improve her life.
And can I just tell you, it's a joy to reach out to these children and to be able to share something with them because you help us. And from the very bottom of our hearts, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Do all you can to help us right now touch these children and share God's love. You know, Betty and I spent 25 years doing citywide crusades and coliseums and stadiums. And then we spent the next 25 years going to nearly 50 countries and putting God's arms of love around overlooked children. Hold up that little Christmas ornament, that little shoe, and then here I have all four of the little Christmas shoes we've been offering the last several years. To put on precious little feet because Jesus loves the children of the world. And when Betty and I got a burden for the missions of the world and the third world overlooked children, we wondered if anybody would notice with us. We wondered if anyone would care. We've been amazed and inspired by the way you, the viewers of Life Today, have responded. You've overwhelmed people all over the world with God's love. You're really a demonstration of what happens when we notice and then we extend the hands of God and express the very heart of God. The millions of people that not only have gotten assistance or food or water, but better health because somebody cared and then they've come to know Christ. Third world countries are being very positively and profoundly impacted. And it's because people like you didn't just look. You reached out and touched someone with love. So what we're asking you to do is make a gift. We'll send you the little Christmas ornament. It'll become a conversation piece and it'll focus prayers on children's feet and their need. And for those of you who will make a larger gift of $100 or more, we'll send all four of these beautiful little gift shoes and Christmas ornaments. But here's what's going to happen. Think about this. $3.60 a pair for a pair of shoes. We've targeted 200,000 children that the missionaries have told us are in place with great needs, but the opportunity is there to turn a whole area around with the love of God. Would you make a gift of $36 and say, I'll give 10 of those children's shoes? A gift of $144, we'll give 40 children's shoes. Would you do that? You can go online, lifetoday.org, or you can just dial the number that you see right there on the screen and literally reach out and touch someone with love. Take your bank card and use it like a check. That's how you use a bank card, like a check. If you write a check, make it to Life. But would you call us and tell us what you're putting in the mail? Really important that we hear from you. And then remember this. We're giving smiles for Christmas, cleft palate surgeries. We're asking people to consider a gift of $1,000 to give two surgeries to two precious children. So we're giving shoes and smiles for Christmas, and we have to start way ahead of time so we can have the money, get the shoes, get them to the mission field in time. Thank you for making a very special moment for precious children, for changing their lives with an expression of love. Thank you for making the call or for going online and making that gift.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. By responding today, you can help Life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pair. And a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. With your gift of any amount, be sure to request this beautifully crafted red antique shoe ornament, a treasure to place on your tree each holiday season. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request a special boxed set of Life's Christmas shoe ornaments from past years. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request our commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I hope you will ask for the beautiful set with all four of the Christmas shoe ornaments that we have offered and make that gift of $100 or more. And by the way, if you make any gift, we are sending you one of the little Christmas decorations. I hope you'll give some smiles too. We've got a wonderful guest today that's smiling, and she's very grateful. We can help some little children have smiles who have cleft palate and they need a surgery. And boy, you can't believe the difference it makes. Would you give some smiles? For any gift you make, if you'd like to have Lizzie's book, Choosing Happiness, we'll be glad to send it to you. And there again, there's our website. Would you join Betty and me saying thanks again to Lizzie for being a blessing to us and to people all over the world? God bless you. Hey, God bless you for loving other people. Betty and I appreciate you loving us, because we think you do. Thanks so much for helping us share God's love.
You've not gone too far. You've not done it too long. It is time to go home.
Beth Moore, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.